Our second case this morning is 2020-485, 2020-826. The State of Ohio versus Brooke E. Jones for the appellant, Mr. Galliard. You'll have to unmute yourself.
Sorry about that. Good morning, Chief Justice O'Connor. May it please the court, reserve 5 minutes, please. Ohio's statutory scheme governing reserve prison terms for community control violations require notice of the exact length of the reserve prison term when community control is imposed. So at the sentencing hearing, when community control is imposed, there must be notice for the specific prison term that's going to be held in reserve. And if that reserve term is imposed after a violation, its length shall not exceed what was provided in the notice. Given those statutory mandates, the exact notice must include a consecutive imposition.
So, let me ask you. So, as I understand it, based on our case law, the judge can't impose consecutive sentences unless he or she makes the findings at the time the consecutive sentences are imposed. Those findings depend upon certain facts. How could a judge reserve consecutive sentences at the time that someone's put on probation when none of the facts necessary to make the findings to allow consecutive sentences have occurred yet? The judge doesn't know if they're going to occur.
Well, this is about notice, not the exact sentence that's going to be imposed. So the notice.
I understand that, but how could you even give someone notice of consecutive sentences when you don't know as a judge whether or not those facts are going to occur?
Well, the scheme, the carrot and stick scheme, anticipates violation conduct. So it's no burden on a sentencing court to anticipate that the manner in which the violation occurs will dictate that we want to give the maximum sentence available to us. So when the court is imposing notice, it is not difficult to understand that if one violates and they violate after I've given them a chance and given them the benefit of the doubt, that I'm going to make sure they understand that I can bring the largest penalty after violation. So just the way the concept is in the statutes and what is contemplated in terms of how these situations, one on probation or community control and then goes and violates, that in and of itself is a statutory factor already indicative to the court that this, giving them the benefit of the doubt, isn't working. That's the precise
counsel, do I understand that at the sentencing where someone is placed on community control, it's incumbent upon the judge to say, if you violate the terms of your community control, I will maximize the penalty, and here's what the maximum penalty will be for violating community control. Is that what you're saying?
Precisely, Your Honor, and it makes complete sense with the statutory scheme that Ohio's General Assembly has created, which is we're going to give you a chance here. If you mess up, we have the authority to bring as big a hammer as we possibly can. So when we're going to let you know that you're getting the benefit of the doubt, in our notice, we're going to let you know here's the size of the hammer that's coming down the road. And there are five revised
counsel,
sections.
Counsel, let me interrupt you. You're not saying that the judge has to tell them at the original sentencing that they will get consecutive sentence. They just need to tell them that there's a potential for receiving consecutive sentences in the event of a future violation, correct?
Correct, Your Honor. After the violation, the sentencing court retains full discretion on whatever the precise specified terms were held in reserve.
Okay.
And if they were to have given notice, I can impose those consecutively. They have the discretion to do so, but they don't have to.
Okay, and the original court in this case, the original sentencing court, they actually issued a sentence that was contrary to law. They said, I'm going to give you a suspended sentence of 2 years. And we don't have suspended sentences under our sentencing law. Is that correct?
Correct. No, there are not suspended sentences. There's notice of a reserve term.
But that's what the original court said to the defendant in this case when she was placed on community control, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so to put everything in context, she's on community control. She picks up a new offense in, I believe it was Jefferson County. And there's a sentencing there. And I presume the sentencing judge was well aware that she was on probation for an earlier case in the other county, correct?
Correct.
And taking into all those factors, the judge in that case sentenced the defendant to a 3-year prison sentence, correct?
Correct.
Thus losing jurisdiction of the case, the defendant was off to prison. Is that correct?
Correct.
Now the state in this case agreed with that sentence. In fact, they tried to withdraw their motion for a revocation hearing from the original judge, right?
Correct.
They were fine with the 3-year sentence, right?
Correct.
So the only person in our adversarial system that disagreed with that was the original judge who sentenced the defendant to community control. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. And so that judge brought that person back, even though the trial court had lost jurisdiction. Is there statutory authority for another court retaining jurisdiction after someone's been sent to prison?
In this context, yes, Your Honor, because of the nature of the community control statutory scheme, the offender that violates community control by committing a future felony crime is going to go back before the court that imposed community control on them. And that court is going to make a determination based upon that violation conduct, what the decision will be, further sanctions under community control or an imposition of the reserve prison term that was notified, that it had notified the offender of.
Mr. Gallagher.
Well, the state could have had a revocation hearing prior to the sentencing in the second event, right? Before the original judge.
They could have, yes. And right. In practice, that sequence certainly happens.
Okay. And if that judge had imposed a 2-year sentence, then they could go to Jefferson County and then the second sentencing judge could make an assessment as to whether, and the proper findings as to whether a consecutive sentence was necessary. Is that correct?
That's correct.
But
the
initial sentencing judge can't make an assessment about someone that they're placing on community control about some future event that they don't even know might happen. Is that correct?
In terms of they can't make a determination when the court is providing notice to the offender that they're placing on community control, they can't make a determination on whether consecutive imposition would be appropriate. Is that what Your Honor's question is?
Right. I mean, all they can do, all they could do at the original sentencing hearing was make a finding whether they were amenable to community controlled sanctions or a prison sentence. And they had no knowledge of what future event was going to take place.
No, but as Your Honor started this sequence, all that needs to happen is that if a violation occurs, a consecutive imposition is going to be available to the court when you're brought back before the court. So that's all that needs to be provided in the notice.
Mr. Gallagher, would it be in this scenario, she's on community control or Brooks is on community control. Brooke is on community control in one county, commits an offense in Jefferson County. Would it be appropriate for the Jefferson County judge in sentencing to prison to say, I sentence you consecutive with whatever prison time you get in the other county when they revoke your probation or your community control? Would that be appropriate?
No, Your Honor, because the consecutive imposition cannot occur unless there is a prison sentence in place, already imposed. That's what 292941 says. It 292941 sets the concurrent default. Felony sentences run concurrently in Ohio unless the court states that they're going to be served consecutively to a term already in place.
I understand.
Whether that be from a federal court or a different county.
It just seems that how is this that much different from what you're saying needs to be done? Because a trial court who originally sentences someone to community control is now supposed to divine that perhaps they're going to pick up another offense, perhaps even in another county or another system. And the only way that they would be able to use their discretion based on how badly they violated community control would be if they reserved that right to do it at the original sentence.
Correct, Your Honor. And five revised code sections dictate this result. 2929.19b4 controls the notice when community control is imposed. And if the court decides to place the offender on community control, the court shall notify the offender that if there is a violation, the court may impose a prison term on the offender and shall indicate the specific prison term that may be imposed as a sanction for the violation. This court section.
Counselor, so I guess this is one thing I struggle with. The notice is required to be of the specific prison term, right? You can't say, well, I may impose the maximum. What you have to say is, I'm going to impose 10 years if you violate, or 12 years, or whatever. So how can someone, when they don't know what the sentence could be consecutive to, notify the offender of the, quote, specific prison term?
The consecutive imposition is part and parcel of the specific prison term. In
292901- Right. I understand it, but if you don't know if it's going to be consecutive to an F1, to an F2, and as I understand specific prison term, it's a term of years that you have to tell the offender. So how do you do that when you don't know what the sentence could be consecutive to?
This notice at the front end does not have to have the number of years for this future violation.
Well, hold on. But you have to be specific, right? You can't just say I may impose up to 5 years, or I may impose up to whatever the maximum is. I mean, specific.
Correct.
We're told means a number of years. So
how do you
do that when you don't know what that could be? Because you don't know what the sentence could be consecutive to.
All this notice is doing is it's a specific number, let's say 2 years. It's 2 years plus. That's all they have to impose. That's all they have to provide notice of. A way to look at this is if there's a single sentencing hearing and an offender is placed on community control for two offenses. The court imposes, let's say they're two F3s. The court imposes community control on both F3s. And reserves 2 years on both of those offenses. And let's say that the court does not reference whether those are going to run consecutive or concurrent. Under 292941, that silence dictates that they're going to run concurrently. So the court needs to provide notice at that hearing of the consecutive imposition for the offender to leave that hearing understanding that if I violate on these two offenses, and I'm going to serve a prison term, what I'm going to serve, if the court wants it to be 4 years, the notice has to include that consecutive imposition.
I think you're missing my question. What if you don't know what those two, what if you're putting someone on, hold on, let me finish. If you put someone on for one offense and they pick up a new felony and the judge determines to run that consecutive, how does the judge say what that specific prison term the judge is going to impose? Because with the language, you're trying to pigeonhole all of this into that phrase, specific prison term has to be supplied. So how does the judge do that when they don't know what the maximum sentence for the new felony will be?
All the sentencing court has to do is, here's the reserve term, and there's a plus to it. It's going to be added on to whatever were to come if you were to violate through a felony, a future felony, commission of a crime. And RC 2929-01-FF1 defines stated prison term as the prison term or combination of all prison terms. However you slice it, a consecutive imposition, whether it's two offenses at a single sentencing hearing, or it is a single offense at a sentencing hearing and a future felony crime, no matter how you slice it, a consecutive imposition involves two sentences. It's a combination of prison terms. This court's interpretations of Ohio's community control statutory scheme confirm that a consecutive imposition must be included in the notice in order for it to be imposed up after a violation. In Brooks, what this court's holding was that the offender had to leave that courtroom understanding what their prison time frame would look like. If the court wants that to look like it's going to have an add-on, they just have to provide consecutive imposition in the notice. That's it. They don't have to be able to. Counselor, they're not clairvoyant.
Counselor, please. But that's not what Brooks said, right? Brooks said you had to be specific about the number of years, right? In case you decided.
Correct.
Okay. So how do you reconcile what you're saying today with Brooks saying that you have to be specific about the number of years?
Because for any time that a prison sentence is served in conjunction with another prison sentence, whether it's, and again, this statutory scheme governs whether there's two offenses at one hearing and then there's a future violation that is not a felony of crime, or whether there's one or more at a sentencing hearing and you have a future violation. All that the notice is trying to get to in that context is, here's the exact number, plus there's going to be something more. It's not asking the court to be clairvoyant and anticipate a number piece.
Mr. Gallagher, the FF division that you cited, I mean, don't you think the legislature meant maybe somebody's getting sentenced on two cases at the same time, rather than a case now and a case that's unknown in the future?
Certainly that's the most common factual scenario, but that language, a stated prison term includes a combination of all prison terms involved. And every time a sentencing court is imposing a prison term consecutively, both terms are involved right there in that building at that hearing. Yeah, that's undeniable. And again, the practical reality that this statutory scheme governs both the situation where there's two offenses at one time and a future felony crime illustrates that the notice really needs to be included so that we understand coming out of the hearing, like Brooks, if I violate, I know the size of the hammer that's coming. I may not know it precisely. I may not know that it's 8 years, but I know that it's going to be 2 years plus something. So I know that I have a 2 years on steroids sentence hanging over my head when I'm on community control.
Thank you. You've used your time. Ms. Knight.
Thank you, and may it please the court. The question before the court today is if the original sentencing court has the authority, whether notice is provided or not, to impose community control violation sentence to run consecutively to the second sentence, or is that authority vested exclusively in the second sentencing court?
Ms. Knight, I wanted to ask a question.
Yes.
I mean, when you think about it, as a sentencing judge who's putting someone on community control, especially if it's an F3, but even if it's an F5, the idea that they would have to reserve the right to consecutively sentence for an offense that constituted a basis for revocation, it's almost like oxymoronic with why you'd be giving someone community control. You're almost saying that, okay, I'm going to give you community control, but I kind of think you might mess up, and you might mess up bad enough for me to want to give you consecutive sentences. So I would think the public would be saying, why did you give him community control? Can you address that?
That would be accurate, Your Honor. If a court, a sentencing court, was unable to consecutively sentence an offender if they violate their community controls, and say they violated by committing another offense, as is the case here, if they were unable to do consecutively, it would be concurrent time with any other sanction imposed by another court, which would completely, you know, negate any value that community control possesses, which is basically the state's position in this, is that if sentencing courts are not able to follow through with consecutive sentences, that they lose any and all power that they have, any stick that exists, is therefore taken away from them by negating the ability to have consecutive sentences.
Counsel, is it that difficult to give a defendant that you're putting on community control in the original sentence notice that if they pick up a new violation and are convicted of a new offense, that at that time, not only can the court impose the prison sentence on the community control case, but if the findings are made, they might be subject to consecutive sentences?
That's correct, Your Honor. That should be relatively simple to do. However, the concern and the question is whether that would provide them with exact notice, specific notice. Opposing counsel has repeatedly mentioned specific notice. This court has found that specific means the term of years.
Right, but no one could ever predict specific, give specific notice about something that hasn't happened yet, right?
Correct.
And in this case, the state wasn't even looking for consecutive sentences. They were negotiating the plea bargain in Jefferson County and tried to withdraw the motion for a violation in front of the original judge, right?
That's accurate, Your Honor.
And if the judge would have acquiesced, then this matter wouldn't be before us today, but that judge insisted on holding another sentencing hearing and reaching the opposite of his or her colleague in Jefferson County, that consecutive sentences were warranted in this case.
That's accurate, Your Honor.
All right, thank you.
Appellee, the state maintains that the broad discretion of a sentencing court is paramount to the functioning of the justice system in preventing consecutive sentences for imposition of sanctions on community-based control would render the community control system useless. The only punishment that would be possible for community control violators would exist for those who commit more minor violations on community control. Basically, your minor violations of not showing up, that kind of thing, that would not warrant a prison sentence per se.
Well, then, counsel, just let me understand. Absent a minor violation, in other words, it has to be another crime committed for which a sentence will attach. And you're saying even without notice in the first sentencing, those can be run consecutively.
That's not my argument, Your Honor. My argument in this case, Your Honor, is that notice was provided to the defendant in the 7th District's entry. They quote a section from the transcript, which says the judge saying, "I understand that if I am under community control sanction, this plea may result in revocation proceedings and any new sentence could be imposed consecutively." That language would indicate that the judge did provide, while it's minimal notice, notice that there could be the potential for consecutive sentencing.
But it's mandatory that the judge do, in the first sentencing, provide notice of the potential for consecutive sentencing with any subsequent offense.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, Your Honor. Yes. State versus Howard provides guidance for this court on notice requirements for the imposition of consecutive sentences. In Howard, this court held that notice is to be given to an offender at the initial sentence, as Your Honor said, of potential penalties. This court further explained in State v. Brooks that the notice should be given to offenders and potential violators prior to violations. This obviously meets the scheme of carrot and stick, notifying them that if they do not follow the community control rules, that they will be sanctioned thus. If courts are not permitted to sentence community-based control violators with consecutive sentences for commission of new offenses, there's no incentive for those on community control to avoid future crimes as a condition of their community control. Appellant seems to be arguing that the imposition of reserve sentence amounts to imposition of a greater amount of time than appellant's original sentence. Appellant's community-based control carried a possible sanction of 24 months, which appellant was informed could be imposed. As I stated previously, the judge did indicate, although briefly, in the initial sentencing hearing that there was the potential for consecutive sentencing. Given that, and given that 24 months was the stated sentence, appellee would argue that she was provided notice, albeit not thorough notice, notice that that was a potential sanction. In addition, the question includes whether or not the second sentencing court is the one that has jurisdiction to consecutively sentence. We would argue that the Harrison County Court of Common Pleas, in effect, was the second sentencing court, given that upon a revocation or a community-based control for community-based control violation, it is considered a new hearing, it's a new sentencing, all of that. So the Harrison County Common Pleas Court was the second sentencing court, which would be able to consecutively sentence the defendant. Appellee and appellant both concur on the ability of the court to impose consecutive sentences as a sanction. Where we differ is on the amount of notice required and the specificity of that notice. The state's position is that there's only so much specificity you can provide, as many of your honors have mentioned. You can't see the future. The court won't be able to note specifically what a violation would be, especially if it's another offense.
Counsel, I seem to recall I started out asking Mr. Galliard, if the court in the first sentencing, when they're putting the individual on community control, says, if you violate any terms of community control, including committing another crime for which there will be, you know, a potential prison consequences, I will give you the maximum. And the maximum here is, you know, 5 years, whatever. And that could be concurrent to whatever additional time is given for your new violation. Is that sufficient?
Your Honor, Chief Justice, do you mean consecutive to?
Consecutive to the first, okay. Yeah. I'm going to sentence you to, or I'm going to give you community control. If you violate by, committing an additional crime for which there will be a sentence, I will impose the maximum I can impose on this first sentence, and it will run consecutive to whatever the second imposition will be.
Your Honor, I think the only issue that would be presented with that is limiting the court limiting itself to only being able to do the maximum in addition to whatever.
I mean, the court can always go down, it just can't go up.
That's true, Your Honor. The state's position is that that notice would be sufficient because it would put the defendant on notice that in this case, 24 months, 2 years would be consecutive to whatever other sentence would be imposed in another case.
What you're doing here is giving notice of the worst thing that could happen if you decide not to take advantage of community control, which is what I'm offering you now.
Yes, Your Honor. Yes, absolutely.
Well, let me follow up on that, counsel. So at the original sentencing hearing, if given all the facts, the judge finds the defendant amenable to community control and places them on community control, how can they say to them, if you violate, I'm going to give you the max and I'm going to make it consecutive to whatever you commit in the future if you do that, when in fact the consecutive sentencing statute says you have to make certain findings at the time of sentencing that consecutive sentences are necessary to protect the public? So how could they do that with a future that is unknown at that time? Why, how could a sentencing judge do that?
Your Honor, I think that that would just be, as Chief Justice mentioned, the worst possible case scenario. So it's not that I will, more so it's the I can. The possibility is that if you do violate and receive a new sentence in another court, that the reserve sentence in this case could be sentenced consecutive to whatever you receive in another court. And it would potentially be important to include in that notice that would be if certain factors are met, which are required under the statute.
Right.
And then those factors could be explained or enumerated at the time of the imposition of the at the time that the sentence is imposed.
Precisely, Your Honor. That would be appropriate, and that would put defendants on notice of, okay, if your behavior meets these specific elements, that this is very likely what's going to happen. And I think the whole statutory scheme really lends itself to that. And the idea is to provide notice to defendants what could happen.
So Ms. Knight, you actually agree with Mr. Galliard that the statute does require that notice be given at the time of the initial sentence by the first sentencing judge?
Yes, Your Honor. I believe that in this case that was achieved. I think the only issue we have at this point is whether it was sufficient or act.
And to help me, the statement that you read was actually read or given by the judge on the record, or it was in a form that that she signed?
It was given by the judge on the record. It is in quotation marks. It's from the plea agreement, I believe sentencing hearing as well, in the transcript.
Oh, so it's from the plea agreement too. Okay, thank you.
I believe they were done the same day.
Okay.
So the idea behind the statutory scheme is to inform offenders of what potential consequences they face if they do commit violations of their community control. In this case, the Harrison County Common Pleas Court informed defendant at her initial sentencing hearing that any new sentence could be imposed consecutively, which put appellant on notice of the potential for consecutive sentencing for any violations. The statutory scheme in 29-2941 says that consecutive sentences can be served when they are sentenced only served when the prior sentence is already imposed. If a defendant is put in prison for a prior offense, the consecutive sentence can only be begun once that term has been imposed. So this court was only able to provide a consecutive sentence once the appellant was sentenced by the Jefferson County Court. The state's position is that in this matter, there may have been insufficient notice, and that the proper way to correct that would be to remand for resentencing and provide the defendant with notice of the potential. The state's position is that she was provided information regarding that, and that she knew or should have known, based on the comments of the judge, that there was the potential for consecutive sentencing. Thank you for your time, and the state would yield her time.
Thank you. Mr. Galliard, you've used your time. You may take a minute. You're not, okay.
The language from the plea form that the court read does not satisfy the statutory scheme. It's talking about a new offense. So the Jefferson County, it's informing Ms. Jones that the Jefferson County court could have imposed its sentence consecutively to the 2 years from the Hancock County case. It does not inform her that the Hancock County case could be imposed consecutively by that court to the next future felony crime. The statutory scheme governing community control wants the offender to understand what this specific court will do to that offender if they violate. In order to get that accomplished, under the statutory scheme and this court's interpreting it, this consecutive imposition must be included in that notice precisely to that offense relative to a future offense, or if you have a situation where there's two offenses in one hearing as to each other. We ask this court to so hold. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the matter under advisement. You'll be notified of our decision. Marsha, we call a 10-minute recess.